Brother Kenneth was speaking from Matthew 22. You know what happens in Matthew 23? That just kind of hit me when he was speaking about that and how that, you know, you can go all the way back in early in the book of Matthew and you can find where those Pharisees began to find or to look for a way to destroy Jesus. So in Matthew 22, when that lawyer addressed him as master, and Brother Kenneth pointed out, you know, doesn't seem to be any sincerity there. Remember what happens in Matthew 23? At least seven times the Lord says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He lowered the boom on them in that chapter. So it seems like that just kind of came to a head when here's this one of these representing those hypocrites asking about the great commandment. It just seems like that's the greatest of contrast there. It came to a head there. And he lowered the boom on them in the next chapter. So just because there's religion involved doesn't mean there's sincerity and love for God. Amen. Now, Brother Kenneth already told you my text because I'm not finished with that. I appreciate everything that we've heard this morning. And I want to go to Galatians chapter 5. And not so much to deal with definitions of words as we go through some of the thoughts about the fruit of the Spirit. But to emphasize, and I believe he brought this out, to emphasize how we are to bear those fruit of the Spirit. You know, and again, we've already heard, to be doers, not just hearers. You know, it's one thing to know, you know, like, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus came to the conclusion of that, how did he end it? He didn't say, "Now these are the things I want you to know." Well, sort of, but that's not all of it. Because he said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them."
There you go.
That's the one that's going to be the wise man. And if there's ever been a day that I've been alive that we need wisdom, godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and we need it to be being manifested in our world today, then it's high time for God's people to be manifesting a spiritual wisdom. And you do that by good works. Manifesting those good works. That's what brings glory to God, right? John 15, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." You want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then do what he says. And every time you do it, you're saying, "I love you." Right? Right? Okay. So, you know, those are sweet words, aren't they? "I love you." I love to hear that. And I know you do too. But I think it's even a little sweeter when you show it. Show it. All right. Hope you found Galatians 5 by now. In verses 17 through 21, well, actually 19 through 21, there's a lot of works of the flesh. And I don't want to get into that. There's enough of that. Do you need any help doing the works of the flesh? No. Somehow it just comes naturally, doesn't it? Kind of like Jeremiah says back in the Old Testament, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth speaking lies as soon as they be born. By nature, that's what we are. That old Adam nature that we have, that we inherited from Adam when we fell in sin in Adam, and it's passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right? So we've had that, so we're sinners by nature, and that's why folks that preach infant purity, they're missing the mark, because we inherited sin from Adam. We are sinners by nature before we're sinners by practice. So we have to work on that. We don't have to have any help. You know, like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1, he says, cease from your evil doings and learn to do well. You see, that principle is just all through the Bible. So works of the flesh come naturally. We need help not to do those things. But like's been alluded to already, wouldn't it have been nice if God had given us a way to talk to him? Wouldn't it have been nice if he had given us an instruction book? And wouldn't it have been nice if we had a great support group? You know, there's support groups for everything nowadays. Wouldn't it have been nice if God had given us a support group? He did. He's given us all these things. We could talk to him in prayer. He's given us his spirit to lead us and guide us and instruct us and rebuke us when necessary, condemn us if necessary. And I'm afraid sometimes we want to ignore that. But God has given it to us to help us. And if we'll just listen to God and listen to the Spirit and listen to what he's prompting us to do, we'll be a whole lot better off in this life than ignoring him and not following what the Lord says. So we don't need any help with those works of the flesh. They come naturally. And they come in abundance. So they come quickly. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit, by the way. So let me get back to my list here. He gave us a way to talk to him. He gave us an instruction book. And I've lost my humor. Or it's not very entertaining to me to hear jokes about Bibles that collect dust, or things. Preacher comes by the house and somebody gets the old, good old book and opens it up, and there's something they've been missing for 6 months. No, God's given this to us for a reason. Now, let me ask you a question. Does our culture reflect that this word has been neglected? Does our culture reflect that we're spending a lot of time talking to God? Are we availing ourselves to the support that God has given to us to be the best help? And we've heard a lot of good instruction already this morning about being a help and being a loving individual. And when you get down to this fruit of the Spirit, and I guess I'll get to my text in a minute, but when you get down to this fruit of the Spirit, the very first thing that he mentions is what?
Love.
And we know how we love God, don't we? We love him because 1 John 4:19, if you don't know where it is, 1 John 4:19, we love him because, it couldn't be any plainer. We love him because he first loved us. When did he first love us? Before the foundation of the world. Plain and simple in the scripture, according to Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what he set his love upon us. If you want it in the language of Romans chapter 8, for whom he did foreknow. That's when he set his love upon us. And he did it before he created man. Now that's Bible truth. All right? So what I want to emphasize here is this love that he has given to us is supposed to be reflected back to others. And we've heard a wonderful lesson in that already. So I don't have to deal with too much of that, do I? I know you're going to remember everything Brother Kenneth said. So I don't have to deal with it too much. But listen. These nine fruit of the Spirit. All right, I don't see them as separate things. I see them as an unfolding, as a maturing, as a completing. Because love has to be the fabric of every one of these things. Our love for God will motivate us to be loving toward others. You see, John 3:16, I think my Bible says it's the most beloved verse. Well, it's wonderful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Boy, does that demonstrate to us what charity is all about? It's giving. It's not just a feeling. It's not a commandment. It's God showing us how much he loved us because he sent his own Son to suffer and die for us sinners. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Not acceptation, acceptation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Paul felt to be the chief of them. Are you a sinner?
Yes.
Really? Are you one of the real sinners? What I have found in my years of ministry, in my years of observation, you know what I've found? The biggest sinners, at least in their eyes, are the ones that are walking closest to the Lord. That light shines so bright in our heart that it shows what's there. I mean, by nature, what we're capable of, it's ugly. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And you, if you want a good Bible study sometime, that word together. When he talks about the sinners over in Romans chapter 3, they're all together become unprofitable. That means at one time, all together become unprofitable has reference to the fact that when Adam sinned, he plunged all of humanity into sin. When Jesus came forth out of the grave, we were given life in him. When he died for our sins, we were altogether saved. Saved at one time. And when he came forth out of the tomb, bless your heart, he arose for us that one time. All right? So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? You've got everlasting life. On the authority of this word. If you believe that, if you are presently believing that, you have everlasting life. And John 3:16 ought to lead us to 1 John 3:16. And Brother Kenneth read that. All right? In other words, if we are blessed to know the love of God in our hearts, it ought to bring us to showing that love to others. And I know you've heard this already, but listen, it's important. That's what it's all about to be a Christian. I know, you know, like 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. All right, we know that. That's our proof text that God has to love us first before we can love him. We can win the argument on doctrinal issues with that. But if that's as far as you ever get with it, you're missing the mark. You need to take it and run with it. You need to take it and let it show. You need to take it and let that truth shine forth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. We ought to show it to others. It ought to be manifested in our works. It ought to be, you know, faith without works is dead. I think we heard that too. All right, faith without works is dead. What good is it? How dwelleth the love of God in your hearts if it doesn't come forth to benefit others? What is the church if it's not letting their light shine? What is the church if we're not showing love to others? It's good to have a deep understanding of all the nuances of this gospel and all those kind of things, but it's better to show it with our lives, with our choices, with the affections of our heart, with our checkbook, with whatever it is, in however it is that we can manifest what we know and understand about the love of God. So when you take this list of nine things that are listed as fruit of the Spirit, it starts with love, and love is still there all the way through. It's I may have said this already, but it's to me it's like a flower in the bud. And the more it opens, the more it's nurtured, the more it has the nutrients that it needs to develop fully, the more beautiful it gets. To the point where it's fully open, and everything about it that you expect from a lovely flower is there on display. So when you look at these fruit of the Spirit, you've got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I might have missed one, but... when you've got that, and when you've got it all in place, how lovely that is. How mature that is. How perfect that is. When you've got it, but it has to start with love. If love's not there, you're not going to get anywhere with it. And if love's not there, you're never going to find any joy. We have to have joy in the Lord to enjoy. You know, joy is not good circumstances. It can be, but that's not what defines real joy. Joy is the love of God in our hearts and rejoicing in who we are by the grace and mercy of God. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that it's by the mercy of God that you've enjoyed the grace of God. And oh, what a blessing that is to understand what the grace of God is all about. That though we were sinners, he sent his son to this world to save us. And when he saved us, we're saved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we can get out of the way and we can fall out of fellowship with God, but we don't fall out of the relationship. You know, children that have gone astray and gotten estranged from their parents and all those kind of things. They may be out of fellowship with their parents, but the relationship cannot be removed. And God's a good parent. And in every way, he's a parent. He loves us, and he don't stop loving us. Even his chastening is out of love. When we do wrong and we're chastened for it. He said, what is it? Revelation 3:19, I believe it is. As many as I love, that tells me he didn't love everybody. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If you love your child, you're going to have to discipline them sometime. Or they're going to be so rotten, you know. All right? So, real love sometimes has to involve discipline. But it's discipline that's done in love. You see, this long-suffering and all that, toward the end of this list, it's got to be made of love. It's the main thing that God has shown us. And it ought to be the main thing in our lives to show it to others. How can we do that? You'll have to answer that for yourself. You'll have to take your circumstances, your position in life, what opportunities lie before you, and if you don't see it, then ask the Lord to show you. Because I've found that the Lord answers that kind of prayer a whole lot quicker than a lot of others. If you ask him for somebody that you can minister to, if you ask him for somebody you can help, if you ask him for if there's something I can do to be a blessing to others, get ready. All right? I found it to be faithful. And I from some of your reactions, I think you found it to be faithful too. All right? So, love of God, the more we think about, you know, this list is not just a me list. It's God's love in us being multiplied. Right? Like we heard. Being multiplied. The way to have more love is give it away. I like that, don't you? In God's economy, if you want more love, give it away. If you don't want any more love, then keep it to yourself. You know, I've heard some speculate about how what hell's going to be like, and Elder Freddie Bowen used to say, "You'll be totally alone." Now I hear that one of the most effective punishments a person can have is solitary confinement. How would you like to be all alone? Well, if you don't love anybody, if you don't show your love to anybody, if you don't express it, if you don't appreciate anything, you'll probably find yourself pretty alone in this world. God's love is given to us. We love him because he first loved us. So then we're to take it and use it. Just like faith, we're to take it and use it. All right? So love, joy, peace. I'm going to run out of time before I run out of subject here. But that's okay. Peace. Don't you like peace? Brethren, I thank the Lord for you every day that we're in peace one with another. Can I tell you, you get trouble in the church and it's just, it's tough. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being peacemakers. Because you have to work at it. It's not automatic. It takes a loving heart and a kind heart. You know, toward the end of this list, you have long suffering, or middle of the list, you have long suffering. You're not going to be long suffering with somebody if you're not a loving person. You see how love is the fabric for all of this? And that the farther down the list you get, it seems like to me it's just more maturing and more ability to show those kinds of qualities, but it's all love. It's all made up of love. It starts with love. It continues with love. So, peace. This is peace with God. And when you've got peace with God, then you can be a peacemaker. I've never seen anybody who was troubled in their own heart and were not at peace with God that could be very peaceful and loving toward anybody else. You know, their lives are just a mess when you don't have peace with God. But if you've got peace with God, you can be more loving. You can be more kind. You can be more, show more of the goodness. You know, one of these fruit is goodness. Which, if you're looking for a definition of this goodness, it's godliness. Because God is good. All right? And anything godly is good. Now, the world's not going to look at it that way. So what? You're not called to be like the world. You're called to be like Christ. All right? So, you know, I talked about how that, you know, it's good for us to learn doctrine and things like that. But when we think about doing those things, all right, being loving, being kind, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But the reason that we are to learn of him is so that we can be like him. Right? See, that's the goal. It's enough for a disciple that he be as his master. So our learning should be so that we can be more like him. And the more like him we are, the more loving we're going to be. The more love others are going to feel from us when they come among us. All right? So this is here. And I like, you know, it's nice to have a list of things sometimes in the Word of God so that you don't have to go in a lot of places to find it. But the point of this list is not just the knowledge of it, but how to put it into practice. That's our privilege. Being called by the Spirit of God. Knowing the love of God. Knowing that we've been forgiven of all of our sins. You know, Brother Kenneth mentioned that verse out of Hebrews where he said he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That just does something to me every time. Every time I think about that verse, that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. All the meanness that I've done in my life, all the times that I've let the Lord down, all the things that I've done, and he's not ashamed to call me one of his brethren. That's love. That's mercy. That's grace. And that brings joy to me. To know, to hear the good news of the gospel. That though we're sinners, he saved us from our sins. That's good news. That brings joy to my heart. And when you've got that kind of joy, then you can spread joy to others. But if you don't have that kind of joy first, you're not going to spread it to others because you can't give what you don't have. So you see how important this is? It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where we make some progress. It's where something happens. Instead of it just being in here, it comes out. One way or another, you know, whatever we're focusing on is what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. Your choices will be made from what is abundant in your heart. So is it going to be selfish? Or is it going to be loving toward others? I haven't gotten very far in this list, but I hope I've made the point. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. You see, think about the worldling. Think about the person that's always thinking about themselves. Selfish. Number one, you know, always doing for number one. Now go through that list. Does that describe them at all? See how far the person like that would be from this list? Long suffering. You're not long suffering. people that are looking after number one, they want things now. They want it to happen now. They want what they want. And if they're not getting it, they're frustrated. They're not long-suffering. They're not exercising self-control, like that last thing, temperance. Or toward the end, temperance and meekness and temperance. But bless your hearts, when we are growing in our understanding of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, what we should do to show in return our love to him by showing our love to others. At the end of this list, he says, against such there is no law. In other words, there is no prohibition. There is no limitation. You can do as much of this as you want, and it'll be a blessing. We already do too much of that other stuff that came ahead of this. And there's plenty of law against those things. But against these nine things that he mentions, this that starts with love, and love is the fabric of it all the way through, and love is in the very last thing, when he says meekness and temperance. Temperance is self-control. Temperance is using good judgment. Temperance is thinking, okay, I'm faced with this. What would please the Lord? I want to do that. Temperance. See how that's a maturing, how that's a finishing, how that's a perfecting of love? Because when we, by self-control, when we want our life to be what's pleasing to the Lord, then we're denying ourselves. We're exercising self-control. We're seeking to love God above anything else. You see how this is the perfecting of it? Temperance. Self-control. So, here's your homework. Everybody loves homework, don't they? Just pay attention to yourself next week. When something happens, how do you respond? Are you patient? Are you exercising self-control? Or is the flesh taking over? I'm not going to tell you my score. You don't have to tell me yours either. But if we love God, if we want to do what's right, if we want to do what's pleasing unto the one who loved us so much that he gave his son, and his son loved us so much that he suffered more than we can imagine for our love and peace and joy. If we think about how much God has done for us, surely we can try to live for him. He died for us so that we could live for him. This world, our nation, this church, our families, we need this to be manifested in a greater and greater degree. You know, I love to talk about the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is just rejoicing that this church has labor of love, works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. And the church was just doing so well. The Lord was blessing them. The report was getting, by the way, Brother Kenneth said something about growing. You want to grow as a church? Then you have to be growing individually. I have never seen, in my some 30 years of ministry now, I have never seen the Lord add to a church that wasn't growing personally. I've seen people say, what can we do? Maybe we can do a mailing to the community and whatever. Listen, When you're doing what the Lord would have you to do, people start showing up. I have seen it over and over. But they don't show up until you're doing what you need to be doing. First things first, right? That's pretty simple. Do you know the Word of God is simply, it is profoundly simple, but it's simply profound. Because it's the power of God that can do whatever He wants to do. We need to seek His will, not our own. If we're seeking His will to please Him, there's no telling what the Lord would do. No telling. May God help us to manifest. Help us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We need to know what it is, but more importantly, we need to do it. Right? Now, I'm not saying you're not. That's the point I was going to get to. I got off track with 1 Thessalonians. Even though the church was pleasing to the Lord and the report was sounding forth from them and everybody in that region of the world had heard about the church at Thessalonica. Right? Okay. The report was sounding out. But the Apostle Paul, what was the Apostle Paul exhorting them to do? To grow more and more in their love for one another. Ha! Imagine that. Here's a church that is faithful to the Lord. They're working, they're laboring, they're hoping. Everything's going well, apparently. And the apostle is exhorting them to grow in love. A love that they already had, love that they were already manifesting, and yet he's exhorting them to grow more in that. That's a clue. That's a clue. Where do we need to focus? Loving God. Loving one another. All these other things will fall into place. We'll grow in our understanding of all these other things if we get that first one right. If we don't get the first one right, we're not going to move on. If we don't have the love and the joy and the peace, we're not going to get to those other things. We're not going to be able to do those other things in a mature way because we need that foundation. We need that fabric to be in everything we do. Because against such, there is no law. That's what pleases God. May God bless you is our prayer.